have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and everything and anything else our hosts want to talk about. Nils Smith is the innovation pastor at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, loves the Spurs, and walking the streets of New York with his family. Jay Cranda is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, loves the Lakers, anything golf, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMCPodcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Nils Smith, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jay Cranda. Jay, it's good to be back.
I feel like I haven't seen your face in a long time. So,
you know, as much as we miss each other, as much as we give each other a hard time, I missed you, Jay.
I missed you too. And now need to move on to, we need to talk about technology before we start crying.
Okay. So. Yeah. So that's a virtual hug right there, coast to coast. We're going to talk about social media management and how you manage multiple social networks within your church, whether you're a multi-site church or even if you're a smaller church. Does your youth ministry, does your women's ministry each need their own social networks? We're going to get to that. Let's just catch up on some of the trends though that we're seeing, Jay, and you just spent some time in San Francisco. Is that right? Using Uber.
Yep.
Tell us about that experience and what that was like for you.
Yeah. So, you know, as the online pastor at Saddleback Church, a big part of what we do is we're trying to get people in areas outside of our physical campuses to start small groups. And we have a big hope that maybe something will grow organically into something bigger. So we have this strategy, which you can go on past podcasts and listen. We talked about how to use meetup.com. So I was up in San Francisco. I have a bunch of small groups in the area, had some meetups, had about 40 people show up to two meetups. Got to baptize three people, actually. Nice. It was really fun in someone's home. It was in a bathtub, and it was an interesting experience, really cool. Our church does full immersion, so like I had to make sure they went underwater. So I kind of felt like I, for a moment there, was like waterboarding people. It was really interesting.
That's hilarious.
But the cool thing was is that when we went out to San Francisco, I hadn't really used Uber like myself, like full, like relied on it. And
right.
So we relied on Uber mainly because the hotel we were staying at was like $75 to park our car there overnight. And it was like nuts. And so we're like, no, we're just going to Uber from there to there. And anyways, the experience was very seamless. I really enjoyed it. I really loved how, you know, I love the idea, obviously, that you're not exchanging money. You're not going in, you know, none of that. You just jump in and jump out. It's very reliable. I had to get used to the different levels of like, do I want to select or all that stuff? But I thought the experience was amazing. This past week that they even announced that now you can call an Uber within Facebook now.
Within Facebook Messenger, yeah. That's the newest update.
Which is crazy. But what I really took away from it was, and this is something that I talk about a lot with just my role at my church is, how do I connect people in my area? And so I love the way the map works. I love the way that you can see the activity. And I think as church leaders, there's something there, the geo kind of mapping technology there is that I know how many people are watching in different areas, but we don't really have a seamless way to connect those people in the area. There's like a high step of hosting a group. But I want like a crawl step. Like what if we can allow a way for like, hey, I'm watching here and I want to share my location and maybe there's somebody in that area. So we're talking about some of that stuff and it just kind of got my mind rolling. I know you're familiar with Uber, but I really enjoyed the experience. Actually, my mom doesn't have a car right now.
Okay.
And I actually had her take an Uber to say, Mom, you can use Uber. It would save you money because you don't need all this stuff. And so I actually got her, you know, onto Uber. And so I'm kind of all in. And then I even saw an article on Mashable about the first 12 employees of Uber. And I was like, you know, they're all like billionaires now. And so it was like really interesting. But anyway, I really loved it. I think,
you know, just to speak to Uber, my experience is one of the things I loved in New York about Uber is I got to meet every driver, seemed like they were from a different country, had an interesting story, fascinating even to hear how Uber will help them buy cars, do different things. It's a fascinating company. They own nothing. yet they're worth something like $50 billion.
Yeah.
And Airbnb, kind of the same trend. So I love that. Now I do Airbnb, or not Airbnb, I do Airbnb a lot too, but I do Uber share rides, yeah. It's called, but you can only have two people in the car. But honestly, I've met a lot of local people in New York through that service. Uber Pool is what
yeah.
it's called.
Yeah.
And so it, you know, I think, and seeing in this urban context, people are sharing rides, they're sharing cars and vehicles. I think that trend's going to continue. You said the word seamless. It's a seamless experience. Seamless is a service here in New York that's almost like the fast food, not fast food, but the food delivery service of Uber. And so you basically pull out your phone. It pulls all the restaurants that deliver in your area. The map, the menu is already in there. You pick what you want, but you pay for it right there within your device. The credit card saved in the app. They deliver it. You can see where the person is that's delivering the food. It's like Uber of food delivery. And we honestly have like 400 locations that can deliver to us within 4 miles. It's unbelievable, but it is a seamless experience. But I think the shift that the church needs to pay attention to with it is the shift to a walletless life. I think that in the next, you know, I hope that in 1 year, I no longer have to have use my wallet. Because you think about it, you don't need your driver's license. You could have that in your phone. I should be able to use my phone to get me onto the subway. I should be able to use my phone to pay for through Apple Pay and my watch. There's not much. And you even think, I was looking at my phone, my wallet the other day. I don't really need my car insurance in there anymore. There's really minimal purpose behind having a wallet anymore, yet we seem so stuck to it. And so I think a church is moving to a walletless life. Is going to be just a part of our future. And I think we're going to laugh. Like, remember we used to have all those little plastic things we'd have to carry around to pay for stuff. It's going to sound ridiculous.
I was actually looking at somebody, I don't know if it's TechCrunch or something, had some kind of like, you know, 15 gifts to give your techie friend or something. Yeah. And one of them was actually my phone case. I have a spec phone case.
Yeah, you got one of those.
Yeah. And so I've had a version of their case for the last 4 years.
Okay.
And if you're unaware, Spec has this, pretty much you can keep, you know, 2 to 3 cards on your phone. So I haven't had a wallet, I think, for 5 years.
Wow.
I've just kept my driver's license and usually 2 credit cards, mainly because not everybody takes Discover, which is lame. I want my 1% cash back. But, I love it. I definitely think, you know, like my driver's license, obviously legally you have to have that.
Right.
And then credit cards just, you know, have issues. I've only ran into it twice where I don't carry cash on me. I just, you know, like I think most people, but I haven't carried cash on me for like 5 years. So the first 2 years of that experience, that was hard because I ran into 2 moments where I didn't have cash on me and I literally had to like, I can't pay you. Like I don't have that. And so I definitely love that trend. I think that's going somewhere. So, and so besides that and Uber and all that, I heard you were saying something that you got to experience like the new iPad. What is it?
It's the iPad Pro. I've been geeking everything Apple. I get so excited about and Apple TV. I enjoy more and more every day, mostly because of the new apps that are coming out. I love the Periscope app, by the way. The iPad Pro was something that at first I was like, that's silly. And then I saw the little pencil that comes with it where you can write on the screen and the keyboard. And so I got to play with one for the first time. A friend of mine in San Antonio got one. And so I got to play with his. And to be honest, I was disappointed when seeing it. So I want to go paperless so bad. I'm still a guy that has my pen and paper where I keep my notes and I keep everything in there. And I've tried using LiveScribe. I've tried doing different things to get myself away from paper. For notes and just different things. I saw that pen and think, but honestly, as I got to play with it, it's a little delayed and I really don't feel like it can like in a meeting taking notes that it just replaces pen and paper. So I was a little disappointed in the experience when it came to the iPad Pro when it for that purpose. Now it's $1,000 or $1,200, whatever you have to pay to replace paper. That's an expensive, you know, payment to replace paper. It's a cool device, the split screen, you know, it's fast, it's a big screen. It is a cool device. I just don't know that it can replace my iPad or my, you know, my notebook. So anyways, that was my experience with it. I hate to say that I was disappointed, but I think they'll fix that. I think it's maybe even just it's just right out of the box, but that was my experience with it.
Which is curious. I mean, I know even like we've talked about this, like with the new Apple TV, that I was a little, you know, surprised that there wasn't more apps like right off the bat.
Right.
Even, you know, I was having conversations this week with a couple organizations, just curious where they're at with their Apple TV, like development, and like a bunch of people are still slowly getting on there. So I know there's 2,500 apps and it's growing, yeah. Maybe it's 3,000 now, but yeah. And mainly, you know, I use it for Netflix, HBO Go, and a couple other things. You know, I will say though, you know, we've downloaded a couple apps and my kids love to play. Yes.
We play Mr. Crab in our house.
Oh yeah. I play Mr. Crab. Yeah. It's a little annoying because you're like, game. It's crazy how it can just go on forever and ever. Like, I don't know if it ever stops. Anyways, if you have an Apple TV,
it's mesmerizing.
Go, yeah. My 2 year old will sit there and, you know, because it's one button.
Hilarious.
And they like, oh, let's play. So anytime I turn on my Apple TV, they're like, well, you know, they point at it. I don't like that idea that now I have this, like my TV can become a thing that they want to play a game on. But anyways, besides the point.
So
we're digressing here.
Okay. Social media for churches.
Social media for churches. Talking about the idea of multi-site and multiple channels. So this is something that Saddleback has struggled with. And actually, when I first started at Saddleback, I was over the social media ministry, and we were just then spinning up some channels. And this conversation came up, and I remember we kind of ignored it. And it wasn't until after I moved out of the role, and Haley, who's been on the podcast in the past with DJ, she had to kind of come in and have some control because we had so many. So we have, you know, 15 campuses. Every campus wants a page. Every campus has multiple ministries. So we might have 500 different accounts out there. Is that good or bad? So, Niels, what have you guys been talking about? What would you do?
Well, and I would say there is not one right solution to this. And once you have your systems in place, they need to change again because social media is changing. But I will tell you what we're doing and why we're being forced to have a lot of these conversations is we're launching our first we did multi-sites in the past. We spun them all off as their own individual churches. And so, which is also, to be honest, created kind of a brand confusion because we've updated some of our branding. They're still using our logo, but it's an old logo that's not been updated. So that alone creates confusion when it comes to multi-sites. But what we're doing now is we are launching back into multi-sites, and we're kind of spreading out, you know, our Spanish service that meets on our broadcast campus is functioning as a multi-site as well. And our online campus is shifting to a multi-site. So what we're doing is all of our multi-sites will have a Facebook page, a Twitter account, and an Instagram account. And so we're using those three to be independent social networks for those campuses. And so they can control those. We will feed them content. We're doing managing everything within Social Report. So they will each be their own project within Social Report. And so our social media manager's name is also Haley. And so she is kind of feeding the content onto the into Social Report so that they will have kind of the core inspirational content, video, sermon clips, things like that, because it'll all be the same, preaching at all campuses. So that would be kind of how we'll manage the social media from a campus standpoint. Now, I would say the more confusing part and what's more relevant to all churches that aren't multi-site is every church has multiple ministries. And so when you have youth ministry, children's ministry, all of those things, our recommendation to pretty much every ministry in the church except for our youth ministry is start with a Facebook group, really build and see how consistent you are with the Facebook group. And we almost, you know, we almost say, once we see, you know, that you've done this consistently and you're ready to commit to, we can talk about adding a Twitter account if you feel like that's going to be relevant to your audience, or we can talk about adding other social networks for your church. But, and I'm sorry for the noise in the background. I've got construction.
Well, and my oldest son started to sing. I have no idea.
It's awesome. this is a part of our lives, Jay, that everyone's part of is I deal with constant construction, and both of us deal with, and we're both working out of the house today.
So
kids and construction and chaos is a part of it. So we just want to invite everybody into our chaos. So anyways, we have all of these social networks all over the place. And one of the things we try to do though, is we actually shut down, you know, as we see that a social network hadn't been used in 6 months, we say, if it's not going to be actively used, it's not better just to sit there and exist and maybe somebody will find it. It's better for it to be shut down because it almost looks like the ministry is dead or the church is dead. So we use 6 months as that kind of barrier right now. I'd say we probably should shorten that to 3 months. If a channel hasn't been used, but yes, that's what we're doing. So we start with a Facebook group. If you've expanded beyond that, you want to go to a page. We typically say if you have more than 250 people actively involved in your group, we could justify a page. I really would maybe even push that to 500. And then Twitter, you know, so our sports ministry uses Twitter. Our students are such a unique dynamic. You know, we really encourage them. Instagram and Snapchat is where they're living on. And so they're engaged there. We support them. We want them to use the social networks that are most effective for them, but we don't have a campus specific, Snapchat account. It's a universal. So we use CPC Social is our global brand. And then we kind of keep that same naming convention for our campuses. So it'll be like CBC Gold Canyon, CBC Borgfeld, CBC Online. So that's kind of our naming conventions. And so how we're kind of managing it all under one brand. Does that make sense? So it's kind of chaotic. Does that make sense? I'm like, man, that's crazy. But that's how we're doing it, if it makes sense.
I know. I think you said it so well. And I think what you guys have done is kind of where Saddleback is at. I think there's such a pull here. I honestly actually feel the reverse on this than I would with my finances. I feel like with finances is always easier to scale up than scale down. You know, the idea of like with a budget. So if you're starting off, if you have like $100 budget to do whatever you want and you get financially, you know, strapped, it's always harder to scale that down than scale it up. So like be reserved. I feel like with social media and all this stuff, it's always easier to scale down than up. And I almost don't like, part of me is that if you're a church and you're starting up and you got a bunch of people doing Facebook, social media, it's like, and you don't got something that's growing or that active, like don't stop what God's doing or like what's happening. You might find somebody doing something that's very powerful. And this is my give and take in how you're managing, how we manage multiple channels, even at our own church, is that sometimes we can get a little bit too controlling.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? Like that's part of it. Part of it is it's messy and it's going. And I think Facebook, like back in the day, the idea was like you would type, you know, a church and then like you might have multiple. Well, Facebook has its own algorithm and all this stuff. It's becoming like Google. So the best content's going to go to the top.
Right.
So that dynamic is changing. So it's partly like part of me is like kind of let it be messy. And then like 6 months or a year in, rein in.
Yeah.
And then like control. And then like kind of, it's that idea, like let people prove themselves.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's so right on because even from a communications director standpoint is support the ministries, don't manage the ministries. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's naturally a time where you can see somebody really abusing social media, becoming spammy, misrepresenting the church. You can coach them. You can guide them. You can kind of step in as you need to. But if you're gonna manage it all and just have all these strict, you know, rules around social media, as social media adjusts, the ministry leaders can't adjust fast enough because your policies aren't adjusting fast enough. And so create some good best practices, but give them a lot of freedom. And I would say even we'd let church members, or when I say we let them, they could do it whether we let them or not, but we encourage them to create a Facebook group for every small group on the church.
Yeah.
And give them best practices on how to use that Facebook group. Now we have our pastors help support them, show them how to use them. But we're not trying to control them. We're really trying to support them as much as possible through social media.
Yeah. And the cool thing is that if you let people kind of have some bandwidth and then obviously you got to rein in and you got to have control, all that stuff, but you know, you're going to find some volunteers for your main channels through that. You're going to see people like, oh, they're really good at that. And maybe they can stop in this area. You might find a page that has terrible content. They create terrible graphics, but maybe they're really engaging and you can go, hey, let's stop this channel. Why don't you come over and help here? I just think that with social media, with a lot of that stuff, is that there can be too much control and we need to be messy. And that's the thing is that, yeah, most people now that are doing all this stuff with social media and churches and stuff, they're focusing on Facebook as they should. But at the same time, you need to have flexibility and you need to allow for some failure in some of these other channels because it's always changing. Now, home base won't change, I think, for the next, you know, 5 years, but you're going to have these other channels. Like nobody did Snapchat well for a church by like control. It was a lot of experimenting and there's some people knocking it out of the park. And part of it is like, I'm not knocking it out of the park on Snapchat because I don't really like experiment on there. I don't do it. Like I do it with some friends and that's it. So part of it is, you know, it's, we need to kind of have that lean startup, that kind of everything's going. And I know a friend of mine was starting a church and he was asking me about like, should all these, like all of our small groups have their own pages? And I was like, dude, like you're at ground floor. If one of these take off, let it take off. Yeah. So don't control. I think, and then, you know, I had the conversation. If one of them goes rogue or something in a year from now, when you're at a size that you can do that, then rein in. But right now, kind of let the momentum going. And I know depending on your size of your church, that can look different. But you know, don't be as scared of some mess, but at the same time, you know, don't be afraid to shut something down if they're being appropriate, but it's like, let them go. I was listening to actually, to Gary V this past week in one of his podcasts, and he was talking about this idea of like what's, and he was talking about in his context, if somebody screws up, just fire them, you know, like that idea of like we're so scared of empowering somebody, but in his case, he can just fire them. And so in your case, as a church, if you give someone freedom and they mess up, you can remove them from that role and put them somewhere else, but don't be as scared of having that tough conversation. And sometimes we're so scared of having that tough conversation that we're not willing, we don't give the potential for something to go into something great or grow in. So anyways, if you have any questions around this question of multi-site and social media, use the hashtag SMC podcast to engage us. You can learn more about the show at socialmedia.church. And also for your church to go next level, to learn the social media basics, talking about Facebook, all these things, you can purchase our social media church course. It's a 6-part course. We talk about this in depth. There's about, you know, tons of training. It's at socialmediachurch.university. Purchase that. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the hosts, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the hosts. Thanks again for listening.